Welcome to the dictionary. I'm a tiny little cartoon character. Maybe I'm a caterpillar. My name is Spencer the Caterpillar. This is episode F-156. Let's talk about the words.
The first word is the third form of the word foil, F-O-I-L, noun from the 14th century. It's way at the bottom of the page. Number one, very thin sheet metal. And the example is aluminum foil, or as you British people like to say, aluminium foil. I prefer the heavy-duty aluminum foil. I know it's a fancy, it's a luxury thing. You gotta pay more, but it's so much better. It's thicker. All the aluminum foil should be heavy-duty. I just like it better. Now we go to number two. A thin piece of material, like metal, put under an inferior or paste stone to add color or brilliance. A type of metal, a thin metal that you're putting under an inferior or paste stone. And I don't know what a paste stone is or an inferior stone. It's not as good as those other stones. To add color or brilliance. What situation is this? I don't know. Number three, someone or something that serves as a contrast to another, as in, acted as a foil for a comedian. You're working together with the comedian, probably, right? I guess this could be on purpose. I think hecklers can be a bit of a foil to a comedian, but maybe when you're called the foil, you are working together. Maybe there's a plant in the office, a plant in the audience. The plant is not a plant, it's a person plant. They've been planted in the audience to maybe feed the comedian some stuff. I don't know. They're a contrast to the comedian. Number 4A, an indentation between cusps in Gothic tracery. And I have no knowledge whatsoever about any of those things. A foil in Gothic tracery. Okay, 4B, one of several arcs that enclose a complex figure. Yeah, I guess this is similarly related to Gothic tracery. Is this architecture? Maybe? Number 5, the synonym is the number one definition for hydrofoil, which I think is some sort of a boat or something that's on the water. The hydrofoil. Hydrofoil! All right, this word is from, I guess there's not a whole lot of information, Middle English word, which means leaf, and leaves are very thin, and a lot of this was about a thin piece of metal. From the Latin folium, there's more at the word blade, and then, of course, if we go back to the previous episode, we had the foil, let's see, what would defeating, thwarting, frustrating, foiling somebody, yeah, all of that sort of stuff. So, yeah, the foil against the comedian is frustrating and defeating the comedian. The comedian has been defeated by the foil, the aluminum foil. All right, I gotta make a sound effect. It's gonna be floops. That'll be it. Now we have the fourth form of foil. This one is a transitive verb from 1611. Number one, to back or cover with foil. Maybe you've got some leftovers and you got to put them in the fridge. They're in a container, but the container has no lid, so you got to foil them. You got to cover them with foil. Or maybe you're at the restaurant and they will foil up your food into a fancy pelican. I want them to make me an ostrich out of foil. Now, number two for the verb of foil is to enhance by contrast. Well, now we did have that one that was about enhancing something, right, to make it more colorful, add color or brilliance. So maybe this one is related to that, to enhance by contrast. I guess that might be it. Because I don't know of anything else that I'm foiling. I'm adding contrast to make it better. Now we have the fifth form of foil. This one is a noun from 1594. Number one, a light fencing sword having a usually circular guard with and a flexible blade of rectangular section tapering to a blunted point. And it says compare to epee, E-P-E-E, and also saber. And then where did we see we had, oh, it was the foible. The foible is part of the foil blade, and I'm now just putting this together. Foible, foiblade, foible, foible. Was there a connection there where they blended the words and chopped off the aid and it became foible, the weak part possibly of the blade? I don't know. I'm just making stuff up, but seems too good to be true. So yeah, the sword, the fencing sword, is called the foil. I have never done fencing. I have heard of this. It is light. It has a circular guard where your hand is. You don't want to hurt your hand. You don't want to get poked in the hand. So there's a guard there. The blade is flexible, and it has a rectangular section. So I guess, look at my fingers. Can you see my fingers? Is this the shape of the sword when you look at it from the point? It's like a square rectangle, and then it comes to a point, a blunted point. So it's not stabby sword. It's blunted, so it's not really going to do any damage. I'm sure it could if you really, really tried. Number two is the art or sport of fencing with the foil. And this is often used in plural. So maybe you're like, we're playing foils today. Let's go play foils. We're gonna swipe our light swords at each other with the blunted points, but we're not gonna hurt each other. Let's go play foils. The origin of this is unknown, but maybe it's related to foible, possibly. That was about weak. I don't know. I don't think weak and feeble, but it's flexible, so maybe they would say it's weak and feeble. I don't know. Foil. Next we have foiled. Has an ED. Adjective. From 1835. This is ornamented with foils, as in a foiled arch. And so, if we go backwards to the word foil, the third form, maybe this was the indentation between cusps in Gothic tracery, or one of several arcs that enclose a complex figure. The arch has these foils, so I don't know. I guess maybe I just need to probably look up a picture of a, well, I guess we'll just look up a foiled arch. Is it made with swords? No. This is very fancy. Look at this foiled arch. So there's the arch, right? It's your typical sort of parabola shape. But there's half circles along the arch. There's down here and then up a little higher, these half circles. And they point in where they meet. I don't know. Maybe I should post a picture of this multi-foil arch. It looks like lots of different kinds and types. Okay. So it's like an additional arc in an arch. Might be the foil. We'll have to read more about this later when we've got the time. Okay, so that is very beautiful and interesting, and I don't know why. Maybe people were like, hey, let's just add more arcs to our arches. Lots of arcs. Okay, so foiled. The arch is foiled. It's ornamented with foils, and that is that. And now, we've got foilsmen. Foilsman, noun from 1927. This is a person who fences with a foil. They could be a boy, they could be a girl, they could be non-binary, doesn't matter. You're going to call them a foilsman because that's the easiest way to say it. I don't know. I think you could say a foils person, foils woman, foils human, foils thing. Any of those are fine. It's up to you. Whoop, zoop. Next is foin, F-O-I-N, a word that I do not know. The first form of foin is an intransitive verb from the 14th century, and it is archaic, so maybe that's why I am not familiar with it. This is to thrust with a pointed weapon. The synonym is lunge. And I know that in fencery, in sword fighting, you must lunge and parry and block and lunge and block and lunge and lunge and do all those things. So when you are thrusting with a weapon that is pointed, look, I have a knife here. I'm going to thrust. I'm going to foin the camera. I'm thrusting at it with a pointed weapon. Knives shouldn't be weapons, but they are. The etymology says this word is from the Middle English, foin, which means fork for spearing fish. That's what a foin is from Middle English time. There's a very special fork that you are spearing your fish with. Is this the fish on your plate? You have to use the special foin fork to spear your fish, or is this when you're out fishing in the water and you are trying to kill the fish so you can eat the fish later, feed the family with the fish? You need to use the foin to stab the fish. It's very difficult because fish are quick. It's the action of using a pointy thing. Foin. Let's try to use this word again. Okay, bring it back. Not the spearing of the fish. No. Just the action. The word calling the action of stabbing. Foin. Now we have the second form. The second form of foin. It is a noun from the 15th century. It is also archaic. And it is a pass in fencing. Fencing? A pass in fencing. And the synonym, again, is lunge. So the action you're foining when you're doing that action, lunging towards the person to stab them, but also that move is called a foin. Go foin your foin, foining with a foin. That foin was foin. Now we have foison. I thought this would have been pronounced foison because it looks very French. But it is spelled, pronounced, foison. F-O-I-S-O-N. Noun from the 14th century. Number one is archaic. It's very important for us to learn about these words that never get used anymore. It's very good for us to learn these words, I think. So, number one is archaic, and it means rich harvest. And maybe the etymology will help us to understand why foison is rich harvest, and where that came from. Number two is chiefly Scottish, and it means physical energy or strength. Well, it's not archaic, so you can still use this one. Oh, I've been working out, so I got so much foison. Look at all that foison I've got. Number three is plural and obsolete, so we'd call it foisons. The synonym is resources. Well, I could see a connection between rich harvest, you're harvesting things, and then those are your resources, the food that you're going to eat over time. So that means now we got to look at the etymology, because we did all of those definitions. This is from, so many words. We are going down to Latin fusio, or fusio, which means outpouring. And there's more at the word fusion. So an outpouring. You're giving something, maybe nature is giving you this rich harvest. So it's an outpouring. Maybe there's an outpouring of love when you have had a terrible situation happen to you, and then you get a foison of love. I would like a foison of love, please. I would also like to give a foison of love. That is, if you have it to give, then you should give it. Give the foison of love, the rich harvest of love. It's very physically energetic and strong. Okay, next. Now we go. Sound is getting wonkier and wonkier. Next we have foist. This is a verb from circa 1587. And looking ahead, I believe it is only transitive. Number 1A. To introduce or insert surreptitiously or without warrant. You are putting something into a situation sneakily. You're not allowed to. You're doing it on the down low, the DL, surreptitiously. What a fantastic word that is. 1B for foist. To force another to accept, especially by stealth or deceit. Yes, this is all about doing stuff sneakily, tricksily. That's a word. I'm sure there's a better word. Stealthily. Yeah. Deceitfully. To force another to accept. To force another to accept. Accept what? I'm putting a gun to your head, forcing you to accept my request that you do a little dance. Please do a little dance for me. So it's foisting. You're foisting the situation onto them. But deceit, stealth, I don't know. Maybe putting a gun up to the head is the wrong example. We shouldn't be putting guns up to people's heads anyway. Stealthy, deceitfully. Number 2, to pass off as genuine or worthy, as in foist costly and valueless products on the public. And that is a quote from Jonathan Spivak, or Spivak. And yes, I could definitely see corporations and companies doing this, pushing their stuff onto the people, but it's not maybe the greatest quality. Foisting, I was just listening to a podcast. Well, I was overhearing my wife listening to a podcast about Johnson & Johnson, the company that's been around since the 1800s, and how they are knowingly, but they don't claim that they know, that they are putting a lot of bad products out there into the world. And they claim that they are fine, but they are not. So that is absolutely a case where they are foisting products. And I, for one, will never knowingly buy a Johnson & Johnson product again, and I don't think you should either, because they are extremely greedy and capitalistic and doing terrible things, and they know they are, and they claim that they don't know. They claim that they're fine, but they know what they're doing. Like baby powder that has talc in it, and talc comes with always some level of asbestos. And, you know, they've changed their product, but they're doing a whole bunch of other bad stuff, too. Foisting on the general product. We don't need stuff to be foisted on us. So foist seems like it's all about doing something bad. And I want to see what the etymology has to say to us. Tell me, etymology.
Hello, I am the etymology. This is probably from the obsolete Dutch word voisten, which means to take into one's hand. From Middle Dutch, voisten, from voist, which means fist,
like a strong fist,
akin to the Old English fist, which means fist.
So it's like, I am guessing that this is like forcefully putting something into somebody's hand. Here, this is yours, take this, it's great, it's wonderful, you're gonna love it. Yeah, so foist, fist, right, that's... Yeah, okay. Put it in here. Close your fist. This is yours now. I don't want it. Give me money for it. It's bad, but you're gonna love it. Foist. Okay, interesting. Why do I do a buh sound before that every time? I don't know. Next we have folacin. F-O-L-A-C-I-N. Noun from 1949. The synonym is folic acid, which I guess will be in the next episode, I think. No, maybe the one after that. But yeah, probably the one after that. Maybe? Yes, there it is. Hello, folic acid. So folacin is folic acid, and this word comes from folic acid plus in. That's it. Next is folate. Noun from 1951. Oh, I'm folate to the party. I'm so sorry. I missed all of the fun. The synonym for folate is also folic acid. So, yes, they're all nouns. Folic acid, folicin, and folate, same thing. You can learn about that in 2 episodes from now. Next is fold. This is our last word. We have 4 forms of fold, F-O-L-D. Noun, from before the 12th century. Number 1, an enclosure for sheep. That's called a fold? I don't know. I've never worked with sheep. I didn't know that. Number 2, a flock of sheep is also called a fold. Put the fold in the fold. The fold has to go to sleep. The fold sleep have to sleep, so they gotta go into their fold. Interesting. Number 2, B, a group of people or institutions that share a common faith, belief, activity, or enthusiasm. Yes, we share an enthusiasm for sheep, and so we are called a fold. A fold of people or institutions. Interesting. They are, why? Well, I guess they're all similar like sheep. The sheeple are like the sheep, so they're called a fold. This word is from Old English, followed, which is akin to the old, who is this? Swiss, O-S, which their word is faled, which means enclosure. So this is literally just from enclosure. Old Saxon, that's what it is. And so the enclosure is just called a fold for some reason because of those words. Faled, to fold, the enclosure. And then the things that you are putting in the enclosure, you're going to also call fold, like the sheep. Now, why couldn't this be an enclosure for other things? Pigs, horses, donkeys, ostriches. Why? Why just sheep? And then, I guess it just got to people, because everything gets to people. Next is the second form of fold, which is a transitive verb from before the 12th century, and this is to pen up or confine in a fold. So this is the action of putting things into a fold, into the enclosure. You are folding the fold to the fold. The example of what you are confining is, of course, ostriches. No, it is sheep. So, literally, the things that go in the... You are folding them. You're doing the action of putting them into the fold, and what's going in the fold is the fold. Folding the folds in the fold. These are the types of sentences you can make when you learn these new words. I know the word fold, but I did not know it in terms of sheep and enclosures and putting them in the enclosure. Next is the third form of fold. Now, this is when I think we're going to get into stuff that we are a little bit more familiar with. This one is a verb from before the 12th century, starting with transitive. Number 1, to lay one part over another part of the same thing. One part of a thing over another part of a thing. And here, I have a napkin right over here. This is a folded napkin because they took one part of it and they went bzzz, and they folded it on top of the other part of it and then they creased it. They went bzzz. That's a fold. When you're making origami, you are making so many folds. The example, we have an example, fold a letter. There's the fancy way you can fold it into thirds, and then you press it down and you crease it, and then that will fit perfectly into your envelope. Now, we have number 2. To reduce the length or bulk of by doubling over, as in fold a tent. To reduce the length or bulk of, yes, you are reducing. So, like with the napkin, you're reducing its area from this to half. So when you fold a tent, you are making it smaller. But I'm confused as why the tent, and we're talking about reducing the length or bulk of by doubling over. I don't know. There's something not tracking here. Couldn't we use the fold a tent example for the first definition? You're putting one part over another thing? And then the result of that is that you are reducing the length of or the bulk of a thing. Okay. Number three, to clasp together, the synonym is entwine, as in fold the hands. Are we doing it this way where our fingers are interlocked, or are we doing it this way? That's up the prayer symbol. I don't know. Are we holding hands some way? I don't know. Folding the hands. I gotta think of this way with the fingers entwined, because that was the synonym. Number four, to clasp or enwrap closely, the synonym is embrace. So maybe this is a hug between people. Are you folding? Are you, when you bring your arms around somebody, you're folding them, folding your arms around them, folding with them. Let's get folded. Number five, to bend into folds. And the thing that you might be bending here is a layer of rock. And I don't know anybody who can do that. So I think that this is a natural geologic process that happens over many, many years, maybe two, maybe a million. And look at this. We're going to hold on to that. Hold on a second. We're going to come back to all this later. So that was number five. Number 6A is to incorporate into a mixture by repeated gentle overturnings without stirring or beating. And the example of what this is happening to is a food ingredient. You are putting your food ingredients together, and sometimes the directions will say fold it into the thing. And based on this definition, you are not stirring it, you are not beating it, you are not foining it, stabbing it with a knife, you are gently overturning it. That's a fold. And of course, if my memory is correct, of course, I have to shout out the show Schitt's Creek, because there is a scene where Moira and David are trying to make something, and it tells them to fold, and they have this whole conversation about what is folding. And I will, if I can find that on the YouTube, I will put the link in the show notes, because even if you haven't seen the show, it's a great scene. Okay, now I want to watch that scene. Number 6B is to incorporate closely. Incorporate closely. Just incorporating a thing into another thing. Very close. Like a hug. Number 7A, to concede defeat by withdrawing from play. And what you are withdrawing are your cards, and what you are playing is maybe poker. And I always was curious, why are we using the word fold here? I fold. I'm done. You guys play. It's too rich for my blood. I got crappy cards. I could try to bluff, but I don't have enough money, really. I'm not going to take the risk. I'm going to fold. I fold. But yeah, why fold? Why fold? You're not literally folding the cards together. You're just putting them down. You're like, I'm out. I'm done. Is there a rule with poker when you fold? Do you have to put your cards down so people don't see what cards you have? I guess at that point, maybe they're not asking for more cards, so it doesn't really matter what cards you have. I don't know. I'm sure there's like a zillion different games of poker. So that was that one. I don't know if we'll ever learn about why we're using the word fold there in poker, but if you know, let me know. Number 7B, to bring to an end. Fold, just an end of a thing. Okay, now that brought us to the end of the transitive definitions, and now we got to go to the intransitive, starting with number 1, to become doubled or pleated. Maybe that's your pants. Maybe you request that your pants get folded. I fold my pants, fold this way, and then that way, and then they have been doubled or tripled or quadrupled. Oh, what's that thing that they say that you can't fold a piece of paper more than like 7 times or something like that? No matter how big the piece of paper is, you can't fold it. I don't know. I should look that up and put it in the show notes, but it's something like that. You can't, gets too thick otherwise. Maybe if it's like the origami super thin paper, maybe you can. I don't know. Number 2, to fail completely. The synonym is collapse, but especially to go out of business. The business came to an end. It folded. They were like, oh, our cards are crappy at this business. We're going to fold. We're going to get out of this crappy card business. It just ended. I hope this podcast will not fold until I finish the last episode, the last page. Number three, to fold one's cards as in poker. Foldable is an adjective. I'm semi-foldable. I can sort of fold. If I bring my leg up and then bring my head down, I'm like, not. I can't fold. Never mind. This word is from Old English fjaldan, akin to the Old High German faldan, which means to fold. Helpful. From the Greek diplasios, which means to fold. D-D-I is two, and then plasios is fold, something twofold, double, twofold. We never found out why this became the end of a thing. So I'm very curious about that. And now we go to our very last word. Let's bring the napkin over here as a visual subject. And then we go like this. We go from. We have the fourth form of fold, noun from the 13th century. Number one, a part doubled or laid over another part. The synonym is the word pleat. I thought the two I got confused. The part. Where is the fold? Yes, when your pants get pleated, that's where the fold is. That's where it was folded. Number two, something that is folded together or that enfolds. Maybe your fingers, maybe your arms, maybe the napkin, the part. It's the fold. Number 3A, this is where we have a visual aid. A bend or flexure produced in rock by forces operative after the depositing or consolidation of the rock. Yes, okay, so it shows us a picture of various layers of rock. You know, it's like you're looking at the cross section, and they're, you know, different shades and colors and blah, 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 the striations, you could use that word there. But it's bendy. And, you know, maybe the bottom layer has sort of the biggest, smoothest bend, but then it gets a little bit tighter above. And so what is this? It is a bend or flexure produced in rock by forces operative after the depositing or consolidation of the rock. So after all this rock has landed, you know, with like dust and things in the air over millions of years, all the stuff goes down and it gets compressed. That's where you got these different layers of different types of rock. And so after all that has happened, then something happens. Maybe an earthquake. Maybe the tectonic plates on the earth are moving around and they shift them. That's why we got mountains. That's why you get sometimes it's angled, or you get these folds, these bends. So when you get the bend, the geologists, they call it a fold. We got a fold in the rock. Oh, hey, come everybody, look, we got a fold in the rock. This is so cool. What happened here a long, long time ago? We're going to figure it out. Number 3B, this is chiefly British. It is an undulation in the landscape. Well, yeah, I think that's very similar. When the landscape, what are you talking about? Just any sort of hill? Do the British people call a hill a fold because it's an undulation in the landscape? Number four, a margin apparently formed by the doubling upon itself of a flat anatomical structure. And an example of that anatomical structure is a membrane. A margin apparently formed by the doubling upon it. So the membrane has doubled over itself in a flat anatomical structure. I don't know. I mean, you know, we got membranes all through the body, but I guess sometimes they get folded. So you call it a fold. It's a very clever word. Number five, the last one. This is a crease made by folding something as a newspaper. So, yes. The napkin, the newspaper, your origami, whatever it is, your pants, that part where it was creased is the fold. All right, that was it. We did them all, and now we will get to pick a word of the episode. If you have any opinions on which word you think is the best, whichever one you would have picked, please feel free to email me, DM me on the social media. All of that information is in the show notes. You can leave me a voicemail. You can make your own little song about it. Let's do this. We had foil, 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 foiled, foilsman, foin, foin, foison, foist, folicin, folate, fold, 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 fold. I think I shall pick, I don't know. I'm going to pick foin as the word of the episode. I got my foil, I'm going to foin. I got my foil, I'm going to foin. Foin, 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 foin. This is so foin. These songs are nothing, but I don't care. Okay, the next movie on the list. Here we go. Let's talk about another movie. It is Bob Trevino Likes It. We had seen the trailers, and it looked very cute and fun, and it gets a lot more emotional than we were expecting. Hoo-wee! So yes, we definitely recommend Bob Trevino Likes It. And so the actress, her name is Barbie Ferreira, and I was convinced that she was America Ferreira's sister, but I believe the last names are spelled differently, and so I guess she's not. They look kind of similar, but I guess they're not. And she is a fantastic actress, and I guess she was in, I think Sharon said she was in Euphoria, which I never watched, so I don't know anything about that. But she's in Nope also. Oh, I don't remember. I have to look up pictures. Damn, she's an amazing actress, and she has to cry a lot, and it's incredibly believable. And of course, John Leguizamo is always fantastic. Oh, and I had no idea that French Stewart played that character. If you've seen the movie, go watch the movie. If you haven't, I was baffled. I had no clue that that was French Stewart. So that kind of blew my mind after the movie. Anyway, I got to end this episode because I need to save stuff for another time. This has been Spencer Dispensing Information. Goodbye.